story.
We're wanted men.
Welcome to episode 152 of the Smugglers Galaxy podcast, your favorite Star Wars podcast for smugglers in the galaxy. I'm Glenn, and with me as always today is Jason, but tonight we've got a special guest with us. His name is Wayne Shiner, and he's got a really awesome book coming out next couple of weeks. He's got a crowdfunding thing going for it, a GoFundMe thing. I don't know what the proper term is, Wayne. That
Kickstarter.
There we go. And he's like 90% of the way there. So let's see if we can get him pushed over the edge, and we'll want to kind of have him come advertise the book with us.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for having me on. This is great.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. So how was you guys this week?
Awesome.
Just getting started.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is, because it's Monday. Well, last week. How was last week?
How was your last week? Yeah.
Last week was good.
Do you collect modern, or are you more just into the vintage stuff, the golden age?
I'm more into the vintage. I think that's kind of where my passion's always been. I have a few modern things, but I like the vintage better. You just got to go with where your heart is, and that's where it is for me.
Yeah. Awesome. So, just a brief introduction. Wayne is a toy collector here in Georgia. That's how we know him. We see him in the con scene and all the different toy shows. And so since you're into the vintage, did you pick up anything vintage this past week, or what was the last vintage item that you picked up for your collection?
Great question. So I'm working on volume 2 for the book series. And I'm really, really, really need to get into that, 'cause that's what I love doing the most. So I just finished off the LJN Dune line this week. Actually, minus one small accessory, but I'll figure that out later. But yeah, so I got the Dune LJN Sandworm. I haven't got it yet. It's coming, but that was a pretty big deal. You have to fight for those things online, apparently. So I fought pretty hard, and I got it coming. So that's gonna work its way. I'm looking forward to having that sandworm in some way in the background of one of those images that I do. I can't get it out of my head, so I'm gonna knock it out.
Awesome. Was the sandworm the difficult one to get?
It's not difficult to get. It just seems to be very popular. I got it on eBay, and there was a pretty good amount of people bidding on it. So I lost a couple of them. And finally landed this one, you know. So I don't know if it's necessarily rare or not. I haven't figured it out yet. They seem to pop up from time to time, but I've been looking, you know, and it happened. So yeah. Good start of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice pickup. I did a toy hunt this past weekend with Jordan and Richard. And we went to 3 different Targets and 1 Walmart. I did pick up the new Boba Fett comic art. I found to both of them. They kind of redid the TVC version of Boba Fett, and they painted him to look like a vintage comic. What,
they did another Boba Fett reprint?
Yeah, believe it or not, they just keep reprinting that thing like a dollar, because it's basically just coining money for Hasbro.
Right.
But then I did find a chase. I did find the Wedge Antilles at Battle Damaged X-Wing for the Micro Galaxy Squadron, which was awesome. Yeah, I was pretty stoked.
Very cool. Yeah, I picked up the Micro Galaxy Squadron AT-AT.
And oh, I then got that too.
Yeah, then I had to buy a new computer because mine bit the dust. So,
man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's all right, because I went from a PC to a Mac.
So yes, that's all right. I'm happy.
It's the thing I should have bought 3 years ago when I bought it with a PC, and I'm like, oh, it'll last. And 3 years into it, it crashed.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's been relearning it, because I had one a few years ago, or like 10 years ago. I had it for a while, and then you don't have it for a minute, and then it's time to get a new one, and So it's just relearning it. So it's pretty, the learning curve's already pretty much gone.
Yeah. But,
so yeah. let me read off the description of the book real quick off of Kickstarter. The Toy Collector's Wish Book is the first book in a planned series covering the toys of the 70s, 80s, and 90s and more. The first volume features the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, The Adventures of Indiana Jones, Clash of the Titans, The A-Team, Rambo, The Force of Freedom, Chuck Norris, Karate Commandos, and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Each chapter is thematically dressed with a beautiful hero image featuring the toy line, has individual product photos and detailed parts and accessories breakdown, and tells the story of the line through the lens of the pop culture events of the time. I've been able to flip through the book. It's incredibly well done. Highly detailed. It looks like the old books that we would get in the mail, the catalogs with little scenes set up, but then it also has all the breakdown of this character came with this accessory and this thing. Where did the idea of the book come from? And yeah, what was the inspiration behind it?
Well, I mean, if you want to take it all the way back, it started when I was a kid. I have some photographs. I actually put them in the first book on like a page. I don't want to bore everybody too much with that much history, but I had some photographs. I for some reason, when I was younger, I wanted to make a book of all my toys. I don't know, just whatever. Mm-hmm. And I took these photos. I took my grandmother's Polaroid and was taking pictures, and I went over, took a picture of my cousin's yellow Lego castle, and I still have those photographs. Of course, that, you know, changed over years, but all of a sudden I started doing this, photographing my collection a couple of years ago, and it just kept turning into something else and then turning into something else and then turning into something else. So I did a website, and then I decided to do these prints of these action figure series, the single page things. Mm-hmm. It just occurred to me one day. So I just started doing it. And I printed up a couple, like six of them, and six different ones. And I took them over to my friend Martin at Retroville Collectibles. I don't know if you know, y'all know Martin.
Yeah, we know
everybody,
Martin.
Everybody knows Martin. Yeah, okay. So I took him over to Martin's house, and I was like, what do you think of this? And he's like, man, you know, this is really cool. You got to do something with this. So, you know, okay, Martin thinks it's a good idea. It's probably a good idea. So mm-hmm. I kept doing more and took him to a couple shows. Like the first one I did was like Jason's Gwinnett toy show. And people seemed to really like him. I did like Joe Fest and Joe Lanta. I don't know, Joe Fest, a bunch of other ones. Retro Toy Con.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing all these prints, and I've got like 20 of them done, and I'm just knocking them out, and I'm having like a blast doing these things. And I wanted to pay homage to the toy catalogs and the wish books, like the Sears and the JCPenney's wish book, where you're flipping through there and they have a toy photographer take all this stuff. And it was like set up in these scenes. It was really, really, it really kind of sold the concept for us when we were kids. And I have been flipping through. My father-in-law was in the toy business, and he would go to Toy Fair up in New York a lot. He had like 9 toy stores in Atlanta back in the 70s and the 80s. Okay. And I was cleaning out his warehouse right when I was getting married, and I found all of these toy catalogs that he got from Toy Fair from like the mid to late 80s and some of the 90s. And it was really amazing to see that the detail that was put into those. So I'm trying to pay homage to that. And I went to Savannah College of Art and Design, so I'm pretty good at Photoshop. Figure I put that to good use and with this. And I just started like doing these prints. And I remember specifically when it turned into the book, everyone kept saying, when are you going to do a book? When are you going to do a book? And I was like, well, I don't know, a book. I didn't even know that was even an option. So I went to Retro Toy Con in South Carolina, and Big Dub, y'all know Big Dub. He came up to me and said, hey, I got this, like, I've been getting your prints and they're great. And he's been very supportive, and he puts them in these like sleeves and these portfolios he picked up at like Big Lots or something. And he said he kept them on his coffee table, and he would flip through them and everyone would read it as a book. And I was like, coincidentally, I do the same thing. And I was like, wow, if somebody else actually is doing something like that, maybe I should start transforming this, what I've been working on, into a book. And that Monday, when I got back from Retro Toy Con, that's when the book started right here. So nice. I don't know if that was the long version or the short version of the story, but that's kind of how it all developed. Does that make
sense? No, it makes great sense. I never thought about putting all that stuff in a portfolio.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I did it just because I thought it was a cool idea. But when I found out that he did it, he told me he did it, I was like, all right, it's time. So yeah. That's how that all developed. And then locked myself away in my basement for 6 months. And next thing you know, there's a book.
Nice.
And I'm very excited about it. And I can't wait to, you know, do more.
Absolutely. I don't know, Glenn, do you have a question?
He answered like three of my questions.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all good. It's fine. I was like, all right, what started the love of photography? You answered that. What was, you know, was your book always the end goal? I mean, you kind of answered that.
Wow. You know? Yeah, I come mentally prepared. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're good, man. Was it, was it as difficult as you thought to do the book?
Yeah, actually it was. Doing the book wasn't as hard as I thought it was, but when you're done, that's when it's hard. Like when everything's done and you're just going through it over and over and over again, and is this right? Is this good? Double checking everything, noticing that some of your images have like an extra shadow that you have to get rid of because it's a white background. That's the hard part for me, is letting it actually, you know, be done and go. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't anticipate that because I've never done a book before. I've done, you know, everything else with graphic design, but not that. So I wasn't anticipating how difficult personally that part of the process would be. And I'm still not even there yet. So nothing's gone to print other than this sample right here.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is, I'm glad I did the sample too, because when you're looking at it on screen, you don't really, you're kind of attached to it. When you get a sample of it, you're detached from it, and you can look at it through a fresh pair of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So that also helps as well.
Yeah, they say an artist is never done. They just abandon their work.
Yeah, I don't want to abandon the work. I want to be done with this one, and I want to move on to the next one.
Yeah, I'm sure you could always tinker on it.
Yeah.
Well, just don't be George Lucas, man.
Yeah. Special edition, the toy collector's wish book.
Yeah, the CGI version. Yeah.
So do you set up the whole scene and then you take the shot, and then for the individual photos, when you do the breakdown, you take that and then you Photoshop around it and put it in place?
Yeah. So basically, when I started off doing it, the first one I ever did was the Indiana Jones print, and I set it all up. I had these leftover photography studio lights from something else I was doing at one point. And I just kind of having fun. I didn't really even know what I was doing. I just decided I was going to play around. And that's kind of the way things develop, is you just play around and see what happens. And I did this like Indiana Jones shoot, and I, you know, did a little bit of Photoshop in there. And then as I progressed and got into different ones, I did a lot more Photoshop, and I like doing that better because you have more control over the dynamic of the design, and the you can kind of, you know, get more into the design that way. I couldn't imagine doing some of the photography work that they did back in the 70s and the 80s with just the camera. That is very difficult to do.
Yeah.
And I've done it that way several times, and wow, it is just unbelievably challenging. And I mean, enough respect to everyone that's ever done that, you know, but I'm just trying to put my own little twist onto it and utilize my personal skills to, you know, make something kind of special.
So how do you pick for this, the volume one, how did you pick which toys to photograph? I mean,
Great question. Basically what I had.
What you had, what you love. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I like. So I've been collecting for like 50 years now. And I wanted to make sure that there was a completed collection, or wouldn't really have made sense to include it, you know? So yeah. I started with what I had, and I guess strategically didn't even think about that. I happen to have those particular lines, and now I'm working on other, now I'm strategically thinking about it, but at the time I wasn't. So I like all those lines. So everything that's been done is something that I won't do. If I don't like it, I wouldn't have done it. But I do like everything that's vintage. There's some stuff I'm discovering now that I never even knew about that I'm kind of fascinated with. Like, I would love to be able to do some more stuff on like Dragon Riders of the sticks. I think that is just very cool, but I didn't know anything about that 30 years ago or 40, yeah. 40 years. I guess it would be 40 years ago now. So, yeah.
So what made you start collecting? How did you get into it?
Well, my mother, when I was younger, my mother, she was really adamant about me taking care of my personal toys and my toys. So basically I would, in my room, I would keep all my Star Wars, my G.I. Joe Transformers, and especially like my Legos. And she was pretty adamant about nobody comes over and plays with those, you know, and we have other toys scattered throughout the house that people would play with and stuff like that. And then when I got older, she'd make sure that I took very good care of them. And, she wanted me to, pass them along to my kids was the original concept, but it was more like she must have read somewhere that toys of the future were going to be collector's items one day. So a funny story was we go to the mall one day and she goes, so I read somewhere that these action figures are going to be worth some money one day. We're going to buy some and we're not going to open them. I was like, what are you talking about, Mom? Not open them. So that's kind of what she did. And wow. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, she was right. It wasn't a lot of them. Started with like the MASH series, and I wasn't too into playing with MASH at the time. I appreciate it now, but I wasn't then. And then she really was like interested in finish off Return of the Jedi for me for some reason, just the action figures. And there was this one time that we, cause it was basically just Christmases and birthdays and stuff like that, that you would get stuff. But there was this one random day out of nowhere that she found out that like all the Star Wars Return of the Jedi figures were on sale at Toys R Us, like on discount. So she took me over there, she grabs a shopping cart and she starts picking off all the ones we didn't have and put it in there. And she's looking through them and she knows which ones I didn't have.
Wow.
And she goes, some of these we're not going to open. And I was like, all right, whatever you say, Mom. And she's just dumping them in it. But there was only like 20 or 30 of them. And it wasn't even that many.
It was only 20 or 30. Not a big deal.
She's never done that before and she never did it again, but it was like something kind of awesome. And I still have those to this day. So I would say that that's when it started for me, is when she kind of pushed me into that direction. I don't even know if she knew what she was doing or not, but I'm so glad she did.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
To have the foresight, like my parents weren't even thinking about that back then. They were, just throw it out. We'll donate it when you're done. They didn't think it was going to be a collector's item.
Yeah. She was not doing, even when I went away to college, I grew up in the Baltimore, Washington area. And, I went to Savannah College of Art and Design. And when I moved to Savannah to go to school as a freshman, that's when she moved out. Her and my father moved out of that house. And I was not there when all that stuff was packed up. She immaculately packed up all of my stuff and wrapped it all individually. And then I kept it in these boxes. And she unfortunately passed away like 23 years ago. And I wouldn't open them. I wouldn't touch them. I mean, I continued to collect throughout the years, my own things and different things, but for some reason because she put them there and I just didn't want to like mess with that. Yeah. And then when I had children myself, one of my daughters in particular, that's always with me at the convention, she was really wanted to get inside of those things. Come on, Dad, let's open them up. I want to see what you had. And that's when I when I did that a couple of years ago, that's when the wave just kind of hit me again. And it probably, if it wasn't for that moment, my daughter encouraging me, picking up where my mother left off, I think that's really what sparked me to get into where I am right now.
That's an incredibly touching story. That's amazing.
Thank you very much. I was actually, it kind of makes me a little tear up just thinking about it a little bit sometimes. So,
well, it's always, I appreciate you sharing that because it's always awesome when you have a really good story like that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in a way, this book is a legacy from your mom too.
I don't think this would have came to be if it wasn't for her. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know where to go from here.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
We tell a joke or something. I don't know.
So let me. So you buy all the toys yourself. You don't have. They're all your personal toys.
Yeah, I've been collecting all this stuff for 50 years. I mean, there was a small point in from high school to after college 30s or something where I, wasn't interested. I was interested in other things, but I picked back up pretty quickly. I've been doing this for a long time, and it's kind of like a hobby that just never went away.
So when we were at the summer social, we were talking to Justin at Atlanta Vintage Toys, and he said that he sourced all of the Dungeons and Dragons stuff
that
for you.
Correct. Yes.
So did you put an APB out to Justin and say, I'm making this book, I'm looking for Dungeons and Dragons, or?
I don't remember exactly. I must have. I must have. So I remember they had just started up Atlanta Vintage Toys, or they had started up shortly before that. And they were supplying me a lot of stuff. They'd meet me in parking lots and stuff. It felt a little shady at times.
Yeah. But,
it always feels shady.
It was pretty
guys.
Cool.
No, not really.
I love that
trunk
guys.
Of stuff.
Yeah, no, they're good so guys, awesome. Man. They're good guys.
And I must have said that. I remember telling Justin, I was like, I'm working on some photography stuff. And I didn't even really know what I was doing at the time. I'm working on some photography stuff. If you got any complete lines or anything like that, just let me know. It's sure going to help out. And one day he calls me up and says, I got this lot and it's filled with what I think might be a complete Dungeons and Dragons set. I don't want to go through it. And I know you want to complete stuff. So you want to take a look at it? I was like, yeah. And honestly, if it wasn't for a situation like that with him, I don't think this book would have been, it sped up the process tremendously. And that was a line I did not have when I was a kid. And I saw all the commercials. I love the cartoon, which is kind of different from the line, but still. And researching that line also made me realize how much I was interested in continuing this further, because I think the research is one of the funnest parts of the process.
Yeah. So what's that like? Sorry, Glenn, I keep asking questions.
No,
but
man,
what is research like? Where do you go?
Yeah. It's just like you got to really comb the depths of the earth to figure out what's what. A lot of great research honestly comes from just combing through eBay and seeing different things on there. The toy catalogs from the actual companies is probably one of the best go-to sources. Although you do have to be careful because a lot of those toy catalogs, they actually photographed prototypes.
Yeah.
Even with the Dungeons and Dragons stuff, you'll see it in the commercials, and it's a lot different than that. Another great way to do it too is the actual carded figures. So even if you're looking at an image online and you can zoom in and see what the piece is, that's a great way to find it too. And then when you actually get the carded figure, you can confirm it yourself. The hard part's the variants. That's where it gets really, really tricky.
Yeah.
There's a ton of information out there about Star Wars variants, as you guys know, but not so much about the other stuff.
I mean, they're still finding Star Wars variants out there now, 40 years later.
So. It's pretty cool.
You're right.
Yeah.
So I backed the book. I'm really excited about it. What I really want is to get to that $50,000, that first tier, because an interview with Tim Effler about Raiders of the Lost Ark would be amazing. He's probably told you some stories already.
He has.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So met with him. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I met with him a week or two ago, and I did this page in the book. I think I showed you guys about the Kenner Robin Hood,
mm-hmm.
and where all that originated from. I drew like a map, and that was one of my favorite spreads in the book. And I showed it to him, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I worked on that." And he's just like, "I'm just like, okay, so hopefully you can confirm my accuracy here." I mean, I had to take that opportunity.
Yeah. Right.
And he's like, yeah, this looks great. And he's like, yeah, telling us all, I won't get into too much detail, but he's telling us all these great, great things. And yes, it is a story to be told.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So yeah, we need to get to that tier, people. Back the book.
Yeah.
I mean, and you even did something I think is crazy. Like if you get to like the $120,000 level, if you raise that much money, you're giving everybody the next two books.
Yeah. I don't know how we're doing that.
But yeah. I just noticed that. I was looking through it the other day and I was like, man, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. They better take advantage of it before I, you know, realize what I did.
Yeah. Plans for more than that beyond there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I just totally see this becoming an encyclopedic series. In all honesty, I get this question a lot, and I'm going to tell you before you ask. Mm-hmm. Everyone always asks about the larger toy lines, and there's so many books out there about that, and this series is designed to cover the smaller toy lines, but there's no reason why some of those wouldn't be included in this encyclopedic volume in the future.
Yeah,
I just think they need to be. I've already been working on a lot of that stuff in my single page reference print series, and I think that would adapt well to a complete, you know, series of some sort.
Yeah, I have more questions, but kind of you're talking about the encyclopedic, and I'm thinking of the larger toy lines like G.I. Joe or Transformers. Where would the cutoff be for you when they hit 2000?
Probably. Yeah. Most likely. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, personally, that's where I cut it off. Although I do find myself, I do collect the Street Fighter G.I. Joe for some reason.
Street Fighter, the mashup?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, cool. I think that's pretty cool, but I think that was passed. What was it? 1992 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's but awesome. I would actually probably stop at around 90. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like,
So where does anybody find the books?
I'm sorry.
Where do we find your book? How do we find it on Kickstarter or what website? Yeah. Do you have a website where, you know, if I want to back your book, where do I go?
Great question. So, Kickstarter, just search for, the Toy Collector's Wish Book and it should come right up. Kickstarter or search for Retro Toy Quest. My website is retrotoyquest.com. And there's also links to the book on there as well.
Awesome.
What's been your most like difficult toy line to complete for this? I mean, you said you had most everybody already when you started the first book, but the most difficult to either photograph or complete or the most challenging toy line?
The A-Team.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. That was hard. That was really, really hard. Apparently when I was researching it, I learned more about Jen Patch from Galoob from the year before. A-Team was 1983 and Jen Patch was 1982, and how that line was, Galoob was apparently, you know, just completely desperate to compete with G.I. Joe, a real American hero. And that line of Jen Patch just wasn't going to make that happen. So they kind of retooled all that. That's been very difficult to source some of that Gen Patch stuff. I'm pretty proud with the work that I did on that too. But there gets to be some stuff in there that gets to be a little challenging at times.
What's the most surprising thing you've learned in developing the book?
The most surprising thing I've learned is,
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Olly.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Probably to find the time to do it when your kids go to bed, and to find to schedule, like, on a personal note, I guess, to just make sure you schedule yourself accordingly. And the problem with that is creativity doesn't always work on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very challenging, but I have three children in a pretty loud household. So that would be the biggest challenge I'm personally faced with, but it is what it is. And, you know, it makes it all that much better.
So what are you working on behind you? You've got a nice setup there with like a castle, right? And
yeah. So this is actually Brave Star. I'm working on volume two.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of playing around with the setup for the photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm also on the other side of the table. I don't know if I could do this. I'm also started working today on the Star Trek Galoob.
Oh, wow.
Shoot.
Oh, wow.
Looks like a few of them got, you know, down, but, you know, from me bumping the table. But yeah, so I turned this I used to have everything displayed like most collectors do, but I decided in January that I was going to kind of put everything in bins and turn this into a better photography studio. And that's helped me drastically pick up productivity in photographing and working on stuff.
Yeah.
So I like to kind of work on two things or more at one time to kind of offset the, working on one thing at one time tends to get a little, I step back and I come back and I have a whole new perspective on it.
So volume two would cover Mask, Superpowers, Brave Star, Dune, and Star Trek The Next Generation, which was Galoob. That turned into Playmates though, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But this would just be the Galoob one.
Yeah. I just finished getting that line recently. I was going to include it in volume one, but there were some page limitations on how many I could do. So I had to bump it off to volume two, but I wish I would have had that line back in 1988. I think I was interested in other things at the time, even though I was a huge fan of, I'd watched that show all the time. Mm. It was one of my favorite shows then. But it was really a nice looking line, especially the aliens in the figure. So I'm pretty excited about documenting that.
Awesome. Yeah. It's well written. It's well laid out. It looks incredible and professional and polished. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's a pretty incredible book. I can't wait to get mine. I've already backed one. The thing I'm really excited about is I'm in the deep end with Star Wars, and I buy all the Star Wars books. I try to learn as much as I can. I listen to other podcasts, and because of that, I have a blind spot when it comes to every other toy line.
Yeah,
and this is a great way to kind of dip my toes in there. And I'm probably not going to collect them, but yeah. To get the book, I kind of have it, and the way you lay things out, you have all the information there present to know. And so
I'm so glad you said it like that, because that makes it all worthwhile too, because it goes beyond that. It's education too. I want to make sure that this stuff's documented and passed down, so, you know, my daughter's generation has a chance to enjoy what we lived through.
Yeah, it's all degrading.
Yeah. Don't apart. Say that, Jason. No, but
it's not an investment.
But I do echo Jason's sentiment, because it is. We do have a big blind spot when we're, you know, solely Star Wars collectors, and it opens your mind to other lines and other things you can get into, other rabbit holes. Because you know, you do it. because you know, when you get to the place we are with Star Wars, you get bored with it. Not bored with it, but you're like, where am I going to go next? And you're either spending thousands of dollars on stuff, or you can start a new line.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, funny, not to change the subject, but a funny little story about Glenn is when I was at Toylana, I was thinking about getting a bunch of Simpsons figures, modern ones too. I was going to get them in for my kids and stuff and start figuring some of that stuff out. And I'm thinking about it, and I hear this guy over my shoulder, "Do it, do it." This is like devil, like right here, like, "Do it." And I turn around and it's Glenn.
Of course, he's the devil.
Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, I do remember that.
Sounds exactly like something he would do too.
Well, I haven't done it.
I did it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So chapter 4 will have Playmates the Simpsons line.
Well, I don't think so, but no, you know,
it's modern.
Yeah, it's the modern stuff, but yeah, I just thought that was a funny story because the devil maybe knew it.
Jason refers to me as the devil many times.
Oh, really? Wow, what a coincidence.
Well, when he does things like that, yeah, of course. He's the devil on the shoulder.
Great, Glenn. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. One of the considerations, I don't think many people think about when producing a book like this is that the figures themselves need to be mint.
Yeah.
You can't have a beater in a book like this. You want the best colors. You want it to look new and fresh. You don't want scuff marks.
Right.
In addition of trying to find the A-Team and the predecessor, you also have to find a Minty, and that has to be a challenge itself too.
Yeah, even the Mr. T that I have on the cover, I had to go through a couple of those until I found the right one, because a lot of kids from the 80s, they played with their stuff, you know, and which is nothing wrong with that. That's what it was for.
Yeah.
And you know, when you do find a rare one, that's a pretty big deal. So like that's in mint condition, but I've been pretty fortunate so far. When I collect stuff personally, I always kind of look for that anyway. You know, and I'll pick up a bunch of them just to see what I've got, and then, you know, maybe let them go later, the other ones. But yeah, that's a good point that you pointed out. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but as you're talking about that, I'm looking at the third edition, and it's got Silverhawks, and it's got the Voltron's not too bad, but then it's got all the superheroes, and I know both those lines go crazy.
Yeah.
Lots of money.
Yeah, as I've been working on collecting those for a while too, and I'm still working on that. But yeah, that's a good one. That's a superpowers is a lot of fun.
Yeah. I keep wanting to get into superpowers, but I'm like, all I really want is the Black Spider-Man, just because I remember that was so awesome in the 80s.
Yeah, and Cyborg is the big one that everybody.
Yeah. I mean, would you ever get to the point where you know, like the Cyborg, you know, it's a $1,200 figure. Would you just ask somebody that has one that would, you know, to use theirs, or?
I think probably yes. I think if I want to stay married, I'm going to have to find some creative solutions here. You know, so yeah, it's probably part of the plan.
Yeah.
And Silverhawks, weren't those VAC metalized too? That's got to be tough to track down. And
yeah. Not only I've got a few down there I started, but not only that, they're hard to photograph.
Yeah.
So if you photograph them, and your face is too close, your image is going to end up on the metallic chest. So you ever see one online on Facebook? I see them all the time on Facebook, and I kind of zoom in. I'm like, I can see who took that picture.
As long as they're fully clothed when they take the pictures, you know, you'll be
right. Hey, I know, right? I mean, Facebook can take that down all they want.
I hear you, Jason. Jason's like, and we're done. There goes that left hand turn.
The devil is there. Also available with this is you could get the portfolio with all of the posters that you have.
Yes, that's correct posters. Too. Yeah, that's just kind of add on as like a special like reward to, you know, for the backers, and 20 of the most popular reference prints that I did included in the portfolio. And I've kind of been flattered that a lot of people have been picking those up. So that's really cool. And I thank everybody so much for doing that. It's just very, very, it's beyond what I expected.
Yeah, four of those are Star Wars. You've got your Ewoks, you've got Return of the Jedi, and no, the those three are all Return of the Jedi. They're just
Yeah,
different scenes.
that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Yeah. Th
awesome.
they, they were very hard to do. I spent 5 weeks working on just those three Return of the Jedi prints. I had a blast doing it, but these were the hardest ones I've done yet.
Yeah, why is that? Just
Don't know.
this
There
should be the
was so
best.
much cram. I didn't want to cram too much in, you know?
Yeah.
Split them up on three, and then when I was working on the Jabba the Hutt one, I was like, how am I gonna get the dungeon and the rank? You have to kind of visually kind of see it in your head, and then make it work. And then when I finally did, I was very excited, you know. And that was like three scenes. I had to get like the Rancor dungeon, I had to get the throne room, and then I had to get the skiff and this or the pit, the Sarlacc pit. How am I going to do this? And I kind of split it up like a comic book. Took me a while to figure out that I was going to do that, you know. But once I did, I was very pleased with the outcome, and it tends to move a little quicker once you get past that hurdle.
You've got one hole there for the flag from G.I. Joe.
Yeah, that was this that deserved its own.
Yeah.
That just and some of the parts on there, or you know, super popular, like that tan that fan tail.
Yep.
It's like the big collector's thing that mostly is missing from there. So I wanted to include that on there as well, like some of the most popular missing parts. Kind of a big deal, I thought, to put that on there. But that one was a tremendous amount of fun. That was probably the most fun I've had working on that one.
I remember kids who had the flag. I never had it because I was never a Joe kid, but that thing was huge. It was
Yes,
pretty impressive.
it's two tables I had to use to get that thing set
Yeah.
up. Yeah.
The only thing that kind of comes close is that cell barge that Hasbro made a couple years ago, but yeah, it's still a pretty impressive toy.
Yeah, the flag is way bigger than that.
Yes,
Yeah.
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 And some of these spreads for the posters are from the book itself, like Clash of the Titans and Indiana Jones. These are the ones that you used in the book.
Correct. So
Yeah.
that's kind of the book probably wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have done them with the prints in the first place. And I decided to do like a magazine style layout, and I just thought that that would be a good lead image. When I went to Savannah College of Art and Design, like back in 1992, way back then, all we ever did was magazine layouts, and I never got really a chance to use any of that that education. So finally, I'm getting a chance to use some of that towards this, and that makes me very happy. And it's a lot of fun to do.
And any of the toys used in the book, are they the ones that your mom
No.
saved? No, these are
No.
all new.
So yeah, I don't do that. I keep all those completely separate. I put them back to the original bin. She packed them in with the original wrap that she did, and
Yeah.
I just keep all that separate for like sentimental nostalgic purposes. Yeah, I don't touch that stuff at all.
Yeah, those sound priceless to you.
it's a good question that you asked. But there wasn't as much as I might have led on to be. There's not a lot of them. But the ones that I do have are just, you know, special because of her.
What's your all-time favorite toy line?
Wow. I don't know if I can answer that question. That's why I'm making this book. I don't know. All right. So probably. Oh man,
You can stay Star Wars. It's okay. We're a Star Wars podcast.
it is, but
Yeah.
it's like Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Masters of the Universe. I mean, they don't call it like the big four for nothing, you know. So I would have to honestly say that. But if I had to pick something now as an adult collector, I would probably say that Indiana Jones and that Dungeons and Dragons line was just something that I wish I would have participated more. I had a couple Indiana Jones when I was younger, but I don't think I could ever find it in the store. So I'd say those two really kind of hit me pretty hard. Yeah.
Got anything, Glenn, or should I keep going?
Oh no, I'm sorry. I just saw that they announced a date for Toylana, so that's pretty exciting to me. So sorry.
It's all good.
I was putting it in my phone so I'd remember. March 22nd through 24th, Toylana, Peachtree Corners, Georgia.
I
So
know all three of us will be there. Yeah,
yes.
we'll be there. Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
my weekend, man. That's my
Yeah.
jam is Toylana. Yeah, I get yeah, I'm
You're
what's
good.
I mean, I think I'm trying to I'm just it's like, okay, what do we already ask and what is on my mind and trying to get off the shell shock or so what is your favorite toy line? You already did the favorite toy line.
Yeah.
What and the did you do the most interesting thing? Did we talk about that? Like the most interesting thing you've learned?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, finding time.
Yeah,
Finding
finding time.
finding the
Okay.
right moments to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
for some
thought
people, creativity is like it needs to be regimented. You need to like work that muscle and keep that muscle in shape.
Yeah.
It's different for people.
Honestly, like a lot of my creativity will hit me. If I can't sleep at night, I have a like an upstairs office and a downstairs office. So if I can't sleep, I'll get up and I'll just go into my office and work on something. And 3 or 4 hours might pass by, and I'll accomplish so much,
Right.
just a ridiculous amount of stuff. And then I'll go back to sleep. And you just kind of got to take it when it comes. I tend to overwork myself a lot. I think I put at least 10 to 12 to 15 hours a day when I was working on this book. And it was addictive. I couldn't stop. I had to force myself to stop, but hey, it keeps me out of trouble.
Yeah.
Toys do keep you out of trouble, man.
Better to spend money on toys than drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, toys are a drug.
Yeah, it's plastic crack. I know. As the joke is.
Yeah.
Is there a toy line? Because again, I'm only Star Wars. Is there a toy line that'll be di very difficult to accumulate or to find the pieces to photograph and include in a future volume of the book? Is there something that you really want to include, but you're like, I don't know if I'll be able to get all of that?
Yeah, there is, and I don't know why it's not coming to me. As I mentioned before, that Dragon Riders of the Styx, that some of those weapons, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get those.
It's probably
Yeah,
like those deep cuts.
there's a good amount of stuff that is just disappearing. I've been having trouble finding. I want to work on the Tron and the next one too, the Tomy Tron, and I
Oh
can't
man.
find a staff for the Tron, one of the Tron figures. But
Yeah,
one of
the
the
one of the
but the cool
guards.
right but a cool thing is one of the local toy collectors from the community sent me a picture of one. It was a low res picture, but it's something I could, use to work with, since she sent me the picture. So that was pretty awesome to thank her for that. That was awesome. So there's some people that are really helping out and trying to, they would want to see all this happening, and they're participating in any way they can. And that's really kind of awesome.
Yeah, I would love to see your layout for Tron.
I
That's got to
haven't,
be
it hasn't
pretty
hit me
awesome.
yet. It hasn't hit me yet, but it's,
I'll get some glow sticks and put
yeah,
them underneath something, and I don't know.
it's something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it'll have to be some grid of some sort.
Yeah.
What I do is I watch the movie too a lot. I watch it a couple times when I'm working on something.
Yeah.
That's so helpful, especially for inspiration.
You do the same thing with like superpowers and He-Man and stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. So right now, what did I just do? I watched Dune the other night, just to get some inspiration for that. And it's amazing how inspiration, creative inspiration will come to you when you actually put the movie or the cartoon on. One of the ones that was hard to do was the Chuck Norris one. And then I started watching the cartoon and I was like, oh, just put him in like South Florida. So, and that's
put him in those jeans that we see the ad for all the time.
Yeah. Is he kicking people in the pose?
That's another line I think is pretty cool too, that I slept on when I was a kid. And, you know, that's pretty cool. You can't get any better than Chuck Norris.
So. Yeah. Our parents wouldn't let us have it all. So
yeah, I know. Right.
That's why we're doing it now.
That's why we're doing it now.
Yeah.
Mask. I had Mask as a kid. That was a good, and that's something Glenn was collecting for a little bit there too.
Yeah. I had a bunch of them as a kid. And then it just got to the point where I didn't get it. I got in sort of early. Yeah. And then by the time you realize, oh, I want to get into this, it was too late.
Yeah.
I was finding stuff. I think I bought a Condor for like $5. At one of Martin's first meetups.
Yeah.
And now it's a $50-$60 figure. And
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It is.
So unbelievable. It got to the point. It's like, I need my room for more Star Wars stuff. Or actually, I think it was Bill and Ted, but whatever.
Yeah.
I remember
a good collection. I'm sorry. I heard you had a good Bill and Ted collection.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Mask, I had the truck as a kid, but it's my understanding, like, the back metalization on, like, the smokestacks, whatever they're called, are rubbing off, and it's very tough to find those things in good condition, too.
Yeah, the Rhino, yeah, so
yeah.
The couple of them I have, too, I have two of them, and I had to buy some parts on eBay and change out some of the parts, which was really hard to do. But again, that kind of goes back to your question before, where you want to make sure that everything is as immaculate as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's true. A lot of that stuff's rubbing off literally. So,
like in a line like Mask, who's just, it's massive. It's got like four waves. How far do you go in the line?
All of it in that case. I mean, I don't really, I'm working on that one now.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do it as much as all of it as much as I can. I think I'm only missing a couple of pieces. Wolf Beast, I think, is one of the ones I don't have yet. But you know, it's not terribly hard to find.
Yeah.
But I would like to do it all. There's some Mask does have some I think European exclusives too, that might be hard to find. I'm working on that too. But how detailed do you get? You know, I guess that's the question.
Right. Would you, I mean, like, let's say you couldn't find one, would you just put like a liner note that this is available, or find something online you can use, or?
I don't know yet. That's a good question. that's a really good question.
Or maybe I'll just cover the US releases.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to answer that just yet. You know, Till I figure that one out. But that's a great question.
Looking at some of these, like some of the minor toy lines are popping in my head that I had as a kid, like Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
The food, like the, you don't know about
food
these.
Food Fighters.
The food Fighters.
Food. I thought you said Foo Fighters. I'm like, dude.
Yeah, I had the Dave Grohl action figure.
Oh, I'm thinking, man, they had UFO fighters back in the day.
No, I missed that. No, Food Fighters, where you had like
Food Fighters.
A pizza or a burger with an army helmet on. He had weapons and stuff. But I understand the weapons are tough to find for that line now, too.
Yeah. It makes me think of how cool those McDonald's Transformers were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember those things? The chicken nuggets that transformed into a robot.
Yes. The shake, the Big Mac. Not a Big Mac. Was it
French
Big Mac?
Fries.
Royale with cheese. It's a Royale with cheese. Yeah, Food Fighters. And then the other one that I got was Dick Tracy, and I could never find the blank for that one as a kid. And come to find out, that was like one of the last waves and very short released. And
another thing that's been difficult too is when I was working on Dune, the a lot of these small pieces, like this one in particular, you can get these loose, like this guy.
Yeah.
But how are you going to find that little earpiece thing or that little mouthpiece, you
Oh
know,
yeah, for the yeah,
for
the
the Dune,
nose.
the Paul Atreides? So I'm trying to figure out which is the age-old question: should I open
Open.
it?
I was trying to avoid that question because
Yeah, I could maybe like zoom in on Photoshop,
yeah.
and I've done that actually before, and I've done it successfully.
And you'll
So
do it again.
I might have to, because I don't know if I want to open that really nice condition unpunched Paul Atreides.
Wow.
Yeah, that's got to be tough to find.
I think I got this one on eBay, but it was really very good condition, so I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
I'll give you applause, though you can't hear it because Zoom cuts out
Zoom,
my
yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah, that is the age-old question, because you do have people that just don't give a crap and some people that try to preserve it.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But I do like the Photoshop idea. That's kind of cool. I didn't think about it that way. And then my next question is, let's say you couldn't successfully, you know, you don't want to open it, you couldn't successfully find the piece or whatever, would you just pose the figure without the piece?
I don't think so. I don't think you can get away with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think you can get, I don't think you can get away. I mean, you could pose the figure without the piece, but if you don't have the piece in the guide,
Okay.
like in the guide itself, with as the accessory, I think you can maybe get away with it that way. Maybe you
Okay.
could not have the mouthpiece in the scene, but I think it has to be documented in the guide. I just think it has to be documented, you know.
Gotcha.
It's such an important part. Yeah.
So the soft cover book is $33 if you want to back that on Kickstarter. And the hardcover book is 55. It's cool that the limited editions for both the soft cover and hardcover have already been sold out. That's
Yeah.
pretty awesome.
And the hardcover's individually numbered, one
Well,
to
it says
two
the
fifty.
that one is all gone, it says.
Yeah, all gone. Yes. So
So
that has
nice.
been gone. And that's been surprising. I didn't realize that everyone was going to jump all over that. But there will be 250 limited edition individually numbered hardcovers, and those are gone. And that's the other one. The new hard the hardcover that's out now is going to be just non-numbered standard.
The art portfolio with 20 action figure reference guides. That's 125. That's the 20 posters in the portfolio, which is pretty awesome. And then where did I see that? It's you're working with Rich on this, who went and did the Vintage Collection Archive Edition book. But no, go ahead.
I did want to bring that up too, because it's important to note that I met him at Toylanta for the first time recently, and I saw the book that he did, and it was amazing. It was absolutely phenomenal, and the quality of that book kind of like blew me away. And when I looked at his Kickstarter page and all the success that it had, and after talking with him, I was like, yeah, I think I want to work with him, you know. And we've been working really hard on this campaign, and he has been a tremendous help getting all this worked out, because I don't think I would have been able to do that without somebody like him. He's got a tremendous amount of experience, and we spent him and I spent a whole month just planning out the campaign in advance. And I mean it, I thought it, you know, was going to be a I knew it was going to be some work, but it wasn't just like click go and you're off. It is so much more than that. But yeah, he's been really, really a huge part of this process with this campaign.
And we've got, when this episode drops, we've got 14 days left. This is pretty close. Like you said, at the start of it, it was 90% back. So it's going to get there. I think the question is, do you want to be a part of it and get your own copy? Because it's, like I said, it's a great book. And the cool thing is that it ships November. It's scheduled to ship to in November of 2023. Mm-hmm. So you back the book in August, and just a couple months later, it'll be in your hands.
Yeah,
it's not going to be a prolonged process. It's the book is done.
The book is done. The book is absolutely done. I mean, it's literally right here. You know, it's right here. So
yeah,
it is. And I believe you guys have seen it, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Can't wait.
I've seen many iterations of the book.
Right. I think I shoved it in your face a couple of times.
You really
have. Hey guys, look at this.
The book. The book is what he shoved in my face, guys. The book. But no, it's been
Simpsons action figure.
Yeah. He's like, damn you. But no, I mean, that's part of the reason. I mean, I'm really excited about this, is I've been able to watch it, you know, watch you come from the first show you did in Gwinnett. And, right. You know, you have like 20 pictures, and then it just progresses and progresses and progresses.
Thank you.
And then at Joe Fest, you were like, here's the book, you know, and it was your first prototype of the book, you know, and then now at the Summer Social, and recently we've been able to say, okay, this is it. And it's been really a really fun process to watch.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And the support from you guys, and especially the club and everything else, has been amazing. So that's been kind of the driving force behind the whole thing, you know, the encouragement. So,
well, it's exciting when you see somebody who's excited about what they're doing too.
Right.
You know, it's very contagious.
This is a passion project. It's not how can I get money making toys? It's like, I love doing this, so I'm just going to put a book together.
No, I just think it needs to be done. I think it needs to be documented and archived. And I really want my daughter's been really pushing me. You know, she really wants to see this happen. She helps too. She articulates action figure poses and helps take pictures sometimes. And the fact that I'm able to work on it with her.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't trade that experience for anything. And I think my mom would really, really like that part.
That's
over
beautiful.
More than anything else.
That's right. Beautiful.
And then, I think is the best part, is when you can, Jason's like, I'm going to stop talking, but when you can share your love of stuff with your kids and with the next generation, you know, that there's definitely something special about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's actually, she knows stuff about this, which is kind of blowing me away a little bit. And she'll see things at the shows and she'll, Dad, you missed this. I'm like, well, how did you see that? She's 11 years old. So my other two daughters could care less, which is fine. They're awesome. I love them, but it's really cool to have a little sidekick from time to time. I'm going to take advantage of it while I can, because she's going to grow out of it, and you know, and that's fine. So she's awesome.
So $40,000, you get the book. At the $50,000 level, if we can get to that level with the backers, we would get Tim Effler. Interview with Tim Effler talking about the Indiana Jones section, but more importantly, what they plan post Raiders of the Lost Ark, like stuff that if the line continued, this is what they plan on doing. At the $60,000 level, you get an 8x10 print recreating the box of the Well of the Souls action play set from Kenner's Indiana Jones toy line, which is great. $80,000 level, if we can get there, we get the second volume of the book for free.
That's correct.
So you back it once. If we can get there, you get the book for free. And then the $120,000 level, you get books 1, 2, and 3. So you'll have the full three volume set.
And I'm working hard on both of those right now, as you can see in the background.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't wait for book 2, because then I'll be like, I was talking to Wayne when he was doing that one.
Yes, you were.
and Star Trek too.
Yep. Which is right behind me. Yeah. So
on the other side of the camera.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Anything else, Glenn?
I'm good, man.
Well, thank you, Wayne, for joining us today. This was
thank you.
Is awesome. And I wish you the best.
Yes. Sorry, Jason.
Okay.
I spoke over you, wishing Wayne the best. I just wanted him to plug his stuff one more time, and I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Plug your
Oh, you want me to?
Yeah, you plug it.
Plug it.
Want me to play? All right, so
yeah,
Toy Collector's Wish Book. It's a project documenting the golden age of toys. You can get it at back it now at Kickstarter. To search the Toy Collector's Wish Book or Retro Toy Quest. You can also go to retrotoyquest.com. And I appreciate everybody's support, and I just can't thank everybody enough. I can't believe that we've gotten over 600 backers, and that's amazing to me that 600 people want to see this happen. So, you know, I'm completely humbled. I don't even know what else to say. So thank you all very much.
Yeah, let's get 600 more.
Yes.
Let's do it. Do it. As Glenn would say, as he debate buying do toys.
Do it. It. Do it. Get the Simpsons action figures.
Hey, people do it to me all the time. They're like, here you go, man. Do it. Buy it. You wouldn't believe the amount of PMs I get from people that are like, hey, man, I found this on eBay. And you're like, crap. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. As you were, I think you were standing in that horseman's line, the four horsemen's line. And, yeah.
Those guys. Oh, I've spent so much money on four horsemen.
Yeah, those things are so awesome. My daughter loves.
Oh, that yeah, that's stuff. True. She did buy some.
Yeah.
And she got on their website.
Yes, everyone keeps telling me that, but I haven't seen that yet. I got to check that out. She'll be flattered. Yeah. They were super nice to her, and she was so excited. I mean, she was just absolutely. I've never seen her that light up like that much before. So hey, if she thinks it's cool, it's got to be cool.
Oh, it, dude, and I've gone down such a big rabbit hole with them, and then there's a Monster Force that's coming out, which is all monsters, which is a totally different toy line, toy manufacturer. It's just, Rich, not Rich, yeah, Richard, and
Jordan,
they're very bad influences on me,
yeah,
because they're opening up other doors that I don't need to be going in,
yeah.
Yeah,
do it. Do
we
it.
I was at Second Chance this week, and somebody had brought in a bunch of those Mythic Legions to trade. Yeah,
really.
I don't know if they're still there because Chance is getting into it too, so he might have just taken them home.
Chance, yeah, he was like credit card spending money. Just he looked like, you know, making it rain at their Four Horsemen booth at Toyland.
Chance and his father have also been so supportive too with all this. I mean, I have to. You know, shot them out completely because they've been just so behind all this and encouraging me. Don't stop, keep going, keep going, keep going. So it's things like that that really have been awesome.
Yeah, as soon as you walk into Second Chance, right on the left of the cash register, are your prints.
Oh yeah, he's got those there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. To show off.
Yeah, he's been so amazing, and and everybody over there has been just awesome. So. Go to Second Chance Toys. That's another go there. If you haven't been there, go.
they've been a really good the last 2 years that they've been here they've been a really good driving force to the community.
They have, yeah. Absolutely.
What's your favorite Star Wars movie?
Empire Strikes Back. I mean, that's just honestly, it's Empire Strikes Back.
Favorite Star Wars toy?
I would have to say that. My favorite Star Wars toy is probably that Imperial shuttle.
Yes, I had that one as a kid. I got to get that someday.
But I got to tell you, that right there, that was awesome because I pieced that together from buying lots on eBay. And I got them super cheap. And then I remember that I'll never forget the guy's post. It said, I want it out of the house. And it was dirty, and it was all kinds of other stuff too. And I got it cleaned it up, and I found like a canopy and a thing, and it was completed. And I'm so happy about that. Yeah. So that was fun.
And favorite? Do you watch the Disney Plus shows? Do you have a favorite Disney Plus show for Star Wars?
Yeah. So I honestly, I gotta be honest with you. I think Andor is just really cool. Yeah. It started off like. Kind of slow for me for a minute because I can't sit through anything anymore, and then all of a sudden I was just like, this is got me hard. So by the end of it, I was, if I'm disappointed that the show is over, that's a good sign, and that was that I was really feeling that one a lot.
Awesome, I agree. Followed by Kenobi.
Yeah, I liked I also liked the first season of Mandalorian. That
Yeah.
was pretty freaking cool.
It's pretty special, that one.
Yeah.
Well,
And until Rebels season 5 comes out.
yeah, Ahsoka.
Oh, and I do like the Bad Batch. I like that one.
Yeah.
I do like I watched that with my daughter. I think that's
It's like
pretty
a sequel
cool.
to the Clone Wars almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to the Smugglers Galaxy podcast. If you could, please leave a like and a 5-star review of the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. If it's allowed, it really helps us out. Points people to our show. Follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. This is not Twitter anymore. It's X. Send us an
Is
email or
it
message us. We love
what?
feedback. You didn't know that?
I heard something about it, but dude, I'm not on Twitter.
Yeah, well, it's not Twitter anymore. Elon switched it overnight to X. He took down the blue bird off the building, and he put this giant X on top that like flashes in the residents' apartments across the street. They're a little pissed off, but
Oh my goodness.
yeah, that happened. We love feedback. We'd love to make you part of our show. Our email address is smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com. Thank you to Afonso Riviera for the Smugglers Galaxy logo. Thank you to Levi Waterhouse for the music. Hasbro, thank you for re-releasing VC66. Hashtag vote with your wallet. Sabine will be on next week. Pass on what you learned. Be a positive force in the collecting community. This is the way.
Back the ghost and Wayne's book. This is the way.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.